Our second reading today is from Jude chapter 17, and it's on page 1232 in your pew Bibles. A call to persevere. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. Show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thanks, Nikki. Some months ago, I was reading these words in Jude, and I felt that they would be appropriate for an occasion such as this. In a short passage, they touch on three keynotes that I would like to leave with you this morning. Also, I've never preached on Jude before, so that ticks that box. It means that I think I've preached on every book in the New Testament and most of the Old Testament. You may know that Jude, who refers to himself in verse 1 as the brother of James, as such is also the brother of Jesus, the stepbrother, who's born into the same family. His letter is short, it's powerful, and it's in some places very blunt and urgent, because he wanted to deal with some heretical teachings and practices that were common in the church at the time. Overall, it presents the seriousness of our condition as human beings and that we need to get right with God through a relationship with Jesus before we face him after death as our judge. But towards the end of the letter, he becomes very encouraging and forward-looking. And it's these verses that Nikki read that I want us to look at for a short time today. Three keynotes that I want to leave with you today. First of all, in verses 17 and verse 20, he uses the phrase, dear friends. And the first thing I want us to note is that Jude, in writing to the church at large, and he was writing to the church at large, uses this term, dear friends. Not just friends, but dear friends. And this speaks of the special bond that we have together as Christians. Followers of Jesus have two families. We have our blood family, our relations that are very near and dear to us and important to us. But we also have, as Christians, our blood-bought family, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of the universal church of Jesus Christ. We are encouraged in the Bible to be members of a local expression of this universal church. For me, at various times of my life, I was involved in various churches. In fact, in 6 different local churches. Going way back to my time in Larne, back to the 60s and early 70s, my church was Craigie Hill Presbyterian Church in Larne. Then when we moved to Ballymena, it was Wellington Street, as it was known then. Then after a time, whenever I was living and working in Lisburn and got married to Kay, it was Sloane Street in Lisburn. Then whenever I entered ministry, I became assistant minister on the Donegal Road in Richview. Some of you may know where that is. And then I was called in my first charge to 2nd Killyleagh, and then finally in 2006 to Highkirk. 6 local churches that have influenced me and shaped me more probably than I have shaped them. Our faith is worked out through the local church. Our faith is worked out through our brothers and sisters shaping us and inspiring us and influencing us to follow and serve Jesus. But in addition to all of this, as a pastor and minister, it takes on an even deeper layer. And you sense Jude's pastoral heart here and his feelings of responsibility and care towards the flock. He calls them dear friends. When I was called to Highkirk in 2006, it was such a change in one sense from Second Killyleagh, quite a small church. But in many senses, Highkirk is different from most churches in the denomination. It is large. And that took a little time to get used to. But I was grateful for God's timing because about a year or two before that, I had a sabbatical. And I was over in America, in Illinois, in a place called Elmbrook. Stuart Briscoe had helped to plant and found the church. And that large mega church in America helped to prepare me for coming to Highkirk. But at the end of the day, a church is a church, whatever its size, and it is about the people. And I can echo Jude's sentiment today as I address you as dear friends. You've been a marvelous congregation to pastor, and although there are always issues in a church, and especially in a church this size, I must say I've had very, very few sleepless nights. I've had a few, but not too many. As I said, a special relationship does develop between a pastor and congregation. In the past 19 years, I've been involved in 200 baptisms, 72 weddings, and almost 400 funerals. I've said before that the one word that comes to mind as I leave you is the word privilege. It has been a humbling privilege to help lead such a church. One will not forget such a friendship and that special bond between pastor and people. Working with the elders and the staff team has also been special. What a marvelous bunch of people. And I can resonate with Paul's experience whenever he was leaving the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. There were many tears. And today I brought two handkerchiefs, one for 9:30 and one for 11:30. So Jude, in writing to the church, the flock, part of which he had pastored, he says, dear friends, and that's what I want to leave with you. Secondly, in verse 20, he says, build yourselves up. It is said that preachers take a few years to warm up and to find their voice, but it also takes a few years for them to discover their key theme. And it comes out quite a bit in the sermons over the years. You tend to default to your key life message. Now, obviously, we should preach the gospel. Mankind's sinfulness, the cross of Christ is our only solution. Jesus is our Savior. He's coming again in glory. And so we preach that, and I hope I have been faithful in preaching that in my time here and in Second Killyleagh and wherever. But as well as that, I have defaulted to a life theme. And that is very well summarized in verse 20 of Jude. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. You see, Jude here emphasizes personal responsibility. Just as it is a person's responsibility to feed themselves, especially as they leave childhood, to make a living, to take exercise. So it is the individual Christian's responsibility to feed ourselves in God's Word, to be regular in the place of worship, to take time every day to pray and to touch base with our Lord. Jude emphasizes personal responsibility. Whose responsibility is it to grow in the faith? It is yours. It's not mine. It's not the elders. It's yours. Your individual responsibility. One could describe this in summary as personal discipleship. And I suppose in my ministry, time after time, I have defaulted and emphasized this. Everyone has their key themes. Willis has his, Rowan has his, but this is what mine is. I love that passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 11, where Peter urges the church to make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to add to goodness knowledge, to add to knowledge self-control, and so on and so forth, and ultimately to add and become more loving. We need to take responsibility for our growth in faith. And Jude gets this. He says, build yourselves up in your holy faith. He says, keep yourselves, in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. There is again that note of personal responsibility. So many can drift away, so many can fall away from loving God unless they proactively and intentionally, and I love that word, intentionally go after God. The reformers talked about using the means of grace to keep close to God. You do not drift into godliness. It takes effort and application. Build yourself up. Keep yourself in the love of God. But that is, of course, not the whole story, because we are not left alone to do this. We are left the Holy Spirit. And Jude acknowledges this because he says, and doing this, praying in the Holy Spirit. In mentioning the Spirit, there is an awareness that that original spark of faith and understanding of who Jesus was and is comes through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit brings us to life, and we continue to lean into Him as we seek to travel our journey of faith. Yes, we take personal responsibility. Yes, we apply ourselves. Yes, we are intentional. But we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Because when we keep in step with the Spirit, we find that this application of ourselves is a joy. It's not a chore. And so as we pray and ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit, we find that our hearts are aligned more and more with God's will. And as we were hearing in Psalm 19, the Word of God is a joy to us. We cherish it. Or in Psalm 37 and verse 4, the psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. As we delight in the Lord, so our hearts are aligned to Him, and so our desires become His desires. Our loves are His loves. And so we find it easy to delight ourselves in the Lord, because He will give us the desires of our heart, which are aligned with His. This is the work of the Spirit. One of the things that I have learned in Highkirk over the years and has changed me over the years is the prominence of the Holy Spirit. This church is a Word and Spirit church. And hence I wanted one of the songs today to be Spirit Breakout. Because as we let our walls down, as we come before the Lord and invite Him to do a work in us, He will change us. He will inspire us. He will build us up. So there's this lovely paradox, isn't there? Apply yourself, be intentional, build yourselves up, but do it by praying in the Holy Spirit. He's willing, He's able, He's there. Dear friends, build yourselves up. And then thirdly and finally, we see the necessity of investing in outreach. As Christians and as churches, part of our calling is to take risks and to reach out. And in verses 22 and 23 here, Jude speaks of being merciful to others and snatching people from the fire. This is very strong language, isn't it? When Jesus left us, He left us with a great commission to preach the gospel, to love others, and to disciple them in the kingdom. In Highkirk, I have encouraged us to be a church on mission and to reach out. And that has meant that the church and the eldership has taken risks. We can easily grow comfortable. We can easily rely on past glories and indeed on the fact that we have a large church already. But if we do not reach out and invest in evangelism, we will die. I mentioned earlier, and I was speaking about this on Friday morning at the men's prayer breakfast, that I was assistant minister in Richview in the Donegal Road. It's a building that probably seats over 1,000 people, much bigger than this building. Whenever I was there with Reverend Trevor Anderson, we were doing a funeral a week, sometimes two funerals a week. We were burying between 60 and 100 people every year. But we were doing very little in evangelism. We were doing very little in outreach. And the church is now maybe a few dozen. Don't be complacent. Churches are revitalizing. Churches are investing in outreach, and that is a good thing. And that's something that we have done here, and that has taken risks. Bringing Willis on was a risk. But it has worked. And now we have Cafe Explore, started by Richard, and as Cafe Church. And on a Wednesday evening, there's anything between 50 and 80 people crammed up in the Oasis. Every year at Alpha, in January, we run Alpha. Every year, people are coming to faith through Alpha. Please invite, when we do Alpha again in the new year, please invite folks. Because the Spirit is there, the Holy Spirit is there. He uses this, and people are being saved. And we need to keep taking those risks. And if I can challenge the session as I leave, there are more risks to be taken. Release the immense resources that are in this huge congregation to reach new people for Christ and the kingdom. And so as we close, the battle continues against the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a serious battle. And Jude reminds us of the seriousness of what we are about as church. It is not a game. It is not play acting. It is serious. I love the Message translation by Eugene Peterson, and he translates these verses as, "Go after those who take the wrong way. Be tender with sinners, but not soft on sin. The sin itself stinks to high heaven." Jude has given us a call to persevere, a call to purity, a call to build up in the Holy Spirit. And he finishes with a call to praise. He finishes with this wonderful doxology. And what better words to finish with than these? Let's pray as I read these words. "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore." And God's people said, Amen.